I wonder how you went with that Specsavers ad. When I first saw it, the only thing I noticed was the thing at the end. It wasn't the girl's cubby house that he'd decorated. But there's loads more mistakes in this 30-second ad. Keep a close eye on the dad's face. Do you see it? What about with the mum? Do you see anything there? Yeah, it's a bit clever, that one. It took me a few times to work out how it should be. But how about the daughters? Keep an eye on them. Here. And then here. And then here. Do you notice they're never the same? And the mum's hair too. It keeps changing. And then finally, when we get to the big reveal, next thing you know, Lenny is looking a little bit worse for wear. And there are loads of other things too. Did any of you spot those mistakes? Some of you had seen the ad before maybe, or looked it up on YouTube. It will be up on our church website, linked to this sermon later today. It's a really clever ad, isn't it? It raises for us the question, do you need glasses? Or maybe you just need to pay a little bit more attention. How do you know whether you're seeing things as they really are, whether you're seeing things truly? And that's the question that ad invites us to ask. It's also the question that Luke invites us to ask. As Luke has introduced us to Jesus, one thing stands out. It's how people can't or won't see. They don't see the truth about Jesus and his kingdom. And so Jesus is constantly showing us that we need our eyes fixed. We need to get our eyes fixed because we don't see things properly. There's a proverbial story about a bunch of blindfolded people. You might be able to see them down there. They're touching different parts of an elephant. And because they can't see truly, they don't have a clue about what's going on. One thinks he's touching a tree. The other thinks she's touching a rope or a hose. But none of them really have a clue of what's going on. Well, Jesus has come to take off our blindfolds. He's come to open our eyes to the truth about God and the truth about ourselves. And today we're looking at a pretty well-known story. But what happens with Zacchaeus and the blind man, it's more than just a good Sunday school story, but it is that. Because with this event, Luke is tying together a bunch of things we need to know about Jesus. If we want to see Jesus truly, the blind man and Zacchaeus bring it into focus. Now, we're about to meet Zacchaeus, and he's a tax collector. And we've heard plenty about them over our last term as we've been journeying with Jesus. We started this series in chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel. And from the start, Jesus has been eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus welcomes them and associates with them, but the self-righteous Pharisees, they don't get it. And then just 2 weeks ago, we heard Jesus tell a story. The story about two men who went to pray. A tax collector and a Pharisee. And it's the humble, repentant tax collector who's seen by God and is justified. What have you noticed? Well, almost any time Jesus meets a tax collector, there's a Pharisee there as well. A self-righteous person to disapprove and to try and keep them out, because the Pharisees, they're not interested in seeing Jesus or joining his party. They are the blind leading the blind. That's their problem. They can't see God's kingdom. They refuse to see God's kingdom. And we're told the analysis of their heart, it's all because they love money. They love money and the power and status and comfort that it gives them. Because you see, people in Jesus' day, they would have thought, hey, if anyone could see God's kingdom, it's going to be a Pharisee. And they would have thought that, well, it's actually the tax collectors. They're the ones who are blinded by greed and corruption. But Jesus comes and he gives us the right spectacles and he shows us it's actually the opposite, which is true. In fact, this is something Jesus did not just from chapter 15 in Luke's Gospel, but right from the start of his ministry. Jesus is constantly in the business of helping people truly see. In his very first sermon, Jesus says that he has come to recover sight for the blind. He's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, and as he quotes from that prophet, from the Old Testament prophet, from hundreds of years beforehand, what he's saying is that he's the one. He is God's promised King and Saviour. And so when John the Baptist sends people to check whether Jesus really is the one, well, what does Jesus say? Hey, go back and tell John that the blind receive sight. And if that's happening, well, who do you think I am? But even while Jesus is in the business of helping people see, we heard last week that even his followers, his disciples, don't see because the truth is hidden from them. So that's the background. Jesus is on about giving sight, but the question is, who's able to actually see the truth? And so here we are, chapter 18 and 19, we're getting closer and closer to Jerusalem, and we meet two men who can't see. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, the city of the king on that map there. Oh, sorry, it's a bit dark where you are, but Jerusalem's down there, the bottom left, the largest writing in the black, if it looks a bit blurry to you, sorry about that. He's heading to Jerusalem, the city of the king. It's the place where Jesus is going to receive his kingdom, but it's not in the way people expect. Now, do you notice where we are in Jesus' journey? We're heading to Jerusalem. Verse 35 of chapter 18 says we're approaching Jericho. In chapter 19, verse 1, we're told that we're entering and then passing through Jericho. Have you ever heard of Jericho before? Well, it's the place where the Israelites entered as they came into the promised land. Back in the book of Joshua, when Jericho is captured, it's the beginning of God's kingdom. God's people living in God's place under God's rule. And so that's Jericho, just up there, closer to the Jordan River, up to the top right of that screen. And Jesus is approaching this town, which is significant in the coming of God's kingdom. Because God's king is on the way to enter the king's city. And there's a blind beggar sitting there. Now, this beggar reminds us of Lazarus from the parable, begging to even get scraps. And he hears the crowd and he finds out that Jesus is on his way, and so he cries out for mercy. Listen to what happened from verse 35, Luke chapter 18, verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He wants mercy. He wants God's blessing. And just like last week with the children, the crowd are like bodyguards. They tell him to keep quiet, but he's insistent. He knows he needs Jesus. Verse 39, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now this man might be blind, but he sees Jesus better than anyone else. He knows Jesus is God's king, the Son of David. He knows he's come to bring mercy, to give sight to the blind. Verse 40, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus heals him, because this is his mission, to give sight. Verse 42, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Now what happens? Well, this man gets real sight. Not only do his eyes work, but he drops everything to follow Jesus. Verse 43, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. This blind beggar, he is the opposite of the rich ruler of last week. This blind man leaves what little he has because he's seen Jesus, he trusts Jesus, has faith in him, drops everything, follows him. And do you notice the crowd? Well, now they see too. It's another miracle. Now what Jesus says in verse 42 about faith is interesting, isn't it? Your faith has healed you. A few weeks ago, Jesus told a parable about prayer. It was the one about that persistent widow. And it ended with this warning. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's a warning. I reckon the answer is yes, but. It's a yes, but answer because it's not going to be found in the religious leaders. Though it is found in the blind beggar and the little children and, as we're about to see, a little tax man. There is faith found, but it's in the outsiders who are given sight. So that's the blind man. As the journey continues, we meet another fellow who can't see. This time it's not because he's blind, but because he's short. Verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So just like with the little children and the blind man, the crowd once again is preventing Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. And Zacchaeus is a bit of an enigma, isn't he? We're introduced to him and he's a tax collector and he's rich. How are those two things going to work together? Because if you've been paying attention to the story so far with Jesus, the moment you hear he's a tax collector, you know he's a social outcast. Tax collectors were working for the enemy. They were collaborators with the Roman Empire, enemies of God's chosen people. But we also know that Jesus eats with people like this, and God loves to forgive them. But we're also told that he's wealthy. And in the previous section of chapter 18, where we met a wealthy ruler, and he was upright and moral, he was the best of the worst, Zacchaeus is the worst of the worst, but that best of the best man, the rich, upright, moral man, he walked away. He wouldn't let go. His hands were too full to receive what Jesus gives. That rich man was the camel who couldn't fit through or wouldn't fit through the eye of the needle. And so Zacchaeus, what are we going to do with him? He's a tax collector and he's rich. But what's more, Zacchaeus is like a little child, like we said in the video before. He wants to see Jesus, but because he's short statured, he's short statured and he doesn't mind running and even climbing up a tree. He's like a little child. Verse 4, we're talking about Zacchaeus, verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. So when Jesus meets this short, wealthy, childlike tax collector, what's going to happen? Will he be welcomed or will he walk away? Well, having climbed up that tree, what happens is not simply that Zacchaeus can now see Jesus, but Jesus sees Zacchaeus, verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Jesus sees this tax collector and it's party time. But just like every other time that Jesus throws a party, he sits down and he eats with these dishonourable people and it gets tongues wagging. Verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now the crowd is grumbling and muttering. Why is that? It's because they can't see. They can't see what Jesus is doing. And what about Zacchaeus? Well, unlike the rich ruler, this rich tax collector, he goes straight through the eye of the needle. Not because the eye gets bigger, but because God does the impossible. Listen to what he says from verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." The rich ruler, he refused to let go. He refused to give what he had to the poor. But this time, Jesus doesn't even ask Zacchaeus, But you can't meet Jesus and not be changed. Spontaneously, Zacchaeus receives God's generosity, and out of the overflow of his heart, his generosity overflows. Zacchaeus has got childlike enthusiasm as he gives away all he has. For years, Zacchaeus was blinded by greed. For years, he's loved money and not God. But now he sees Jesus, and everything changes. Verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus came to save people like Zacchaeus, to seek and save them. And so salvation comes to Zacchaeus. He is no longer an outsider. He is a true son of Abraham, much more true than the religious leaders who love money. And this happens because this is what Jesus is on about. Zacchaeus doesn't deserve to be seen. He doesn't deserve to have Jesus enter his home. He is a thief and a traitor. He loves money and has oppressed the poor. But Jesus came for people like Zacchaeus. That's why he's set his face to Jerusalem. That's why he's heading to the cross. Because at the cross, Jesus will take into himself the punishment Zacchaeus deserves, so that Zacchaeus can be found, forgiven, and saved. But the cross also divides the world in two. Those who are blind, they're not going to see what's really happening at the cross. They won't see that this is the moment where God's kingdom comes. But for those who do see Jesus, that he miraculously gives sight, those lost people whom Jesus finds, they're going to see and be found, they're going to be saved by Jesus and welcomed into an eternal home. Do you need to be found by Jesus? Maybe you're like the dad in the ad. You don't even know that you can't see. Maybe you need glasses. Maybe you just need to pay more attention. When we are spiritually blind, we cannot see the truth. We can't even see that we can't see. I reckon that's the situation for many people in our region, isn't it? They don't even realise how lost they are. They don't even give Jesus a second thought. But the good news is Jesus came to seek and give sight to the blind. He came to seek and save the lost. Even those who don't know that they're even lost and they don't know they're blind. How would you know if you were lost and blind? I reckon a good test is to look at Zacchaeus. Has Jesus changed you? Especially how you deal with money. Or think about the blind beggar. Are you following Jesus? Well, if not, then like the blind man, today's the day to cry to Jesus for mercy. Or like Zacchaeus, accept Jesus' invitation and be ready to be changed. Will you receive the sight Jesus gives? And for those of us who've been trusting in Jesus for a while, might be a little while, might be a long while, the response of the blind man and Zacchaeus is challenging for us too. But I think what's even more challenging for us is the crowd. I've been really struck as we've been looking at these last couple of chapters of Luke's gospel. He just keeps pointing out all these people who block the way. The disciples are blocking the children. The Pharisees blocking the tax collectors and sinners. And today, even the crowd blocking both the blind man and Zacchaeus. Luke's been hammering us with this over and over again. And each time this has happened, it makes us think, are we doing things which stop people seeing Jesus? I feel like this is a theme we've been banging this drum over and over again. I was a bit worried about going there today, but I'm thinking, well, if this is what Luke keeps saying to the people that he's writing to, well, he's writing to us, isn't it? This is God's word to us too. Maybe we need to hear this too. Are there ways we are blocking people from seeing Jesus? Is it like with the blind man? His problems are so big, aren't they? He's blind and poor. He's probably dirty and dusty. And he's a bit awkward, isn't he? Like, you wouldn't want to... He's there sitting by the side of the road screaming and yelling. It's not very proper, is it? He's jumping the queue. Why doesn't he just wait his turn to meet Jesus? Let all the better people make it first, and then if he's got time, he can get to someone like the... And he's an interruption, isn't he? Here we are, we're trying to listen to Jesus, and this blind man keeps yelling out, interrupting. Are there things we do as we gather as God's people that makes the blind beggar not welcome? Are we wanting things to be nice for us, and so we actually don't have space for different or difficult people? Or is it like with Zacchaeus? We don't even see them. We are so busy with our own agendas, with our own to-do list, that we don't make space to let others see Jesus. And when was the last time that, like with Jesus, someone muttered that you had gone to eat with a sinner? That family member that no one else will have anything to do with. The neighbour across the road, the family across the road that everyone looks down at. There are thousands of people in our region who are lost. Some of them are rich, like Zacchaeus. Many of them are poor, like the blind man. How often do you pray that they'd come to know Jesus and join us in God's family? I wonder if many of us have started to think Jesus has given up on seeking and saving the lost. At least he's given up on doing that in our circle of friends, in our neighbourhood, in our region. Maybe we don't think that out loud. It'd be a bit wrong to actually say, but if you looked at our actions, how often we speak to our friends and neighbours about Jesus, if you listened in on the things that we pray about, our priority in prayer, maybe we'd see that it's true. Jesus has come to give sight to the blind, spiritual sight. He's come to seek the lost and to save them and to bring them home. And you know what? He uses us to do this. Well, let's pray that he will. Please join with me as we pray. Our Father God, we praise you for sending Jesus. We thank you so much that in Jesus you open the eyes of those who are spiritually blind. We thank you so much that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We pray for those of us who are blind. Some of us know this. Others of us, we still think we can see. Please reveal to us how much we need Jesus' spectacles. Please open our eyes that we may see Jesus. For those who've been given sight, thank you so much. We know we don't deserve it. It's all of grace. It's all because Jesus came to seek and save people like us. Help us, strengthen us to be people who are changed by Jesus. Help us to be willing to spend time with all sorts of people so we can introduce them to Jesus. Please be opening the eyes of thousands of people in our region and use us to give them sight of Jesus by our words and actions. For those of us who live as if we don't believe Jesus is still seeking and saving, please convict us of our sin. Show us our unbelief and reignite in us a deep love and desire to proclaim the excellencies of Christ to our friends, family, and neighbours who don't know Jesus. Amen.